You really need to find an actual sound bite of that. Hello, folks.
Twould be piracy, good sir. Twould be piracy.
Actually, no. We are legally allowed to use an expert from a song as long as it does not go over 20 seconds.
Really, then.
I have studied the law on that, good sir.
Then I suppose next week I will be finding a clip of that to use.
Hooray! Anyways, hello everyone. Welcome to Painted Black Month, where we arbitrarily chose the theme because we had a lot of shows with the word black in it.
There are worse excuses to have a theme month.
Yeah.
Like, Mecha Month was just because I said, you know, I feel like reviewing such and such and such and such. Let's make a theme around that.
We actually had to end up finding other shows because we didn't have enough mega shows.
Yeah, in case you're curious, I wanted to do Go Lion and
Sora.
Get a Robo.
Sora crying just sort of came out of nowhere.
And went nowhere. But that's not what we're talking about today.
Today we're talking about Black Blood Brothers.
Yay.
Yay.
So, this was requested by Angel of the Wolf,
Oh,
who.
also, we're the 5-Point Podcast.
Yes, I'm Bobcat.
I'm Burke.
Every week here, we look at a different anime series, and we look at the first three episodes to help you decide whether it's worth your time or not.
Usually isn't.
Yep. This week is going to be interesting. So, the 5 points are first impressions, story, characters, presentation, which is everything that isn't writing related, and final thoughts. Yeah, so also there's the secret, hidden, always present sixth point, which is mockery.
Yeah. But to be fair, that's an all-encumbersome. Wait.
You mean all-encompassing?
No, I do not! Okay, yes, I do.
Right, so while
Shut
Burke
up.
encumbers himself with his poor vocabulary, let's move on to point one, first impressions.
Meow.
So Burke, when you heard the title and saw the pictures online, and maybe like the first few minutes of the show, what were you thinking?
Well, when I saw the title, I thought nothing outside. Oh, hey, that's another show with black in the title. Let's throw it onto the pile, make a theme of it. Then I saw the Netflix picture, and I thought they gave Red Mage a anime? Huh.
Yeah, the main character has a very silly hat.
Yeah, a very silly outfit in general. Well, I guess it's not all that silly. It's just he's Red
It's.
Mage.
We'll see in a moment that his silly hat is actually somewhat functional, but
Somewhat.
we had no way of knowing that going in.
Yeah, and it's a little inconsistent, to be honest. But we'll
Right.
get there.
So are you done with your first point?
Pretty much.
I was sort of reluctant to put this on our review list because I had actually seen the Professor Otaku and Yesu Otaku reviews for this show several times because I thought they were kind of funny reviews. So I thought, maybe I know a little too much to talk about this.
Did you?
I can sort of say, like, I saw some things coming that I wouldn't have otherwise, but the show does sort of speak for itself even if you have spoilers.
Yeah.
Which actually makes it a good thing for us to review because. Well, we tend to spoil away the first three episodes, and if it's a show that spoilers don't hurt much, then that's perfect for us to review.
Let's move on to point number two. Story. I will say this much. Here is the entire first 5 minutes. A city is under siege. Horrific vampires are attacking everything. They are murdering people in the streets. They have guns and tanks. It's a horrible massacre.
The city is Hong Kong.
Yes, the city is Hong Kong.
And this is a big deal because, you know, Hong Kong, one of the world's great cities, being utterly destroyed by vampires. And the news media is like, and we have reports of thousands of vampires.
Yes, and they're all throughout the streets. Blood is running everywhere. And then a lone hero steps forth and slaughters them all. Then he runs into his sister, lover, betrayer person who doesn't ever show up again and isn't really mentioned again. And she
No, she
kind of.
shows up. Isn't she part of that gang that in the
Oh,
later stuff?
yeah.
But okay, yeah, basically, well, I'm going to call her Anime Marceline.
Anime Marceline!
Oh, Marceline, can't you see these dudes are in pain?
And the lone hero is... Red Mage!
Yes, this is a week for insulting nicknames. I can only remember a couple of the names for any of these characters.
I can remember Jiro, but that's because of Kakaider.
Right.
Jiro is Red Mage.
So if insulting names offend you, don't go watch Bennett the Sage's reviews or anything. We have this thing where they set up a very interesting backstory for the hero, and I kind of wish that we'd gotten to see it play out. Because you have a situation where the main hero had a love interest who was killed by the black-haired Marceline woman who, for unclear reasons... By the way, we may have forgotten to mention this, but both he and this woman are vampires.
Yeah. The lone hero is also a vampire. There are other vampires who are against the bloodthirsty vampires. They have a force field that was keeping them out somehow. And, yeah, it's really cool. It's really bombastic. There's a lot of action. The hero, Red Mage, is incredibly overpowered. He's just slaughtering everything.
And then Marceline kicks his ass casually.
Yeah, though, I think that was mostly because she was toying with him emotionally or something. And then the first 5 minutes are up. And we go to an entirely different show.
And then we come to a little blonde-haired boy
half-pint.
Wearing a 19th-century costume.
Yeah.
It's one of those things that people dress little kids in because they think it looks cute. Not because anyone actually dresses little kids like that anymore.
Yeah. To be fair, I don't think they dressed kids like that to begin with.
Yeah, true. You see pictures of old presidents like FDR as little kids.
Yeah.
Little kids of both sexes wore dresses. Yeah. Up until fairly recently.
Yeah, why waste money?
Anyway, since this little kid is in the hold of a ship, and there's a coffin nearby, and we have probably my favorite moment in the first three episodes, where, he has this really obnoxious voice. It's like, brother, when are we getting there? Brother, wake up, brother. He starts banging on the thing. And, first he's annoyed. Wake up, brother. Wake up, brother. And then in that little kid way, he starts to make a game out of it.
Brother!
Wake up, brother! Wake up, brother!
And then his brother gets up and just smashes his head into the wall.
And that's the best moment.
Yes,
I'm going to spoil this right now. The moments where Red Mage is picking on Half Pint are the best parts of the series.
Yeah, usually involves him punching, well not punching, telekinetically, magically throwing his head into walls and making dents.
Yeah,
Oh, also
little,
just...
Little brother is also a vampire.
Yes. Also, just before this scene, we saw a little girl attack a guy. And then, Half Pint finds the little girl because he figures his brother's asleep and he's bored and they're on a ship and they're stowaways.
So he may as well go up and expose himself.
Pretty much.
So, long story short... Suddenly, the ship is attacked by mercenary-looking guys. And Red Mage comes up, and he's like, to the Half-Pint, are you okay? Did they hurt you? Yeah, I'm fine. Okay. But you know... And he proceeds, using his middle finger to do this, by the way. Like, every time he flips the bird, a bolt of telekinetic magic hits his brother and smashes him into something. Like, he just calmly says, is beating the crap out of him by throwing him against things.
Yes, and it is amazing.
Like, just calmly, like, your brother told you to stay hidden.
Yeah.
And he's like, I'm sorry you had to say that. So what's this all about the shooting and the fighting and the whatnot? And we get some backstory on the show. They're from the company. The actual name is kind of stupid. It's like the Such and Such Coffin Company.
I honestly lost interest in the plot about here because it just started... It became a sitcom. Well, I guess right here it didn't.
It was a sitcom before. The sitcom part was great.
Yeah.
Here it became every action show ever.
Yeah, there's just like this government organization that may or may not be evil. The vampires who just want to be free, but there might be evil vampires among them. Hint, there are. I don't really know what the difference between evil vampires and normal vampires are, but whatever.
It's explained a bit in the show, and I picked up on it probably because I had the reviews to go by, but
Yeah.
basically there's stuff about bloodlines and like you have to be part of a registered bloodline in order for the company to protect you.
Yeah, and it's just very bureaucratic and well,
So long story short,
ship explodes.
the mercenary in one of the cooler scenes, but one that okay, like up to now, Red Mage had been powerful, but this just showed him to be ridiculously powerful. Like, lay decent odds of him surviving a fight or winning a fight against Superman powerful.
Yeah.
You have a whole squad of men who unload on him with their guns, and using his telekinesis, he just stops every bullet in midair about a foot away from him.
Yeah.
The really funny thing is that the guys in the mercenary squad, or company squad, government squad, whatever squad, like you have a scene of one of them reloading to keep shooting. Like,
Yeah.
really? You can't figure out that you're doing nothing?
It's even worse than the Superman Return scene where the guy empties an entire minigun into Superman, then pulls a pistol and tries to shoot him in the eye.
The ice scene was cool.
Yeah, because at least then, with Superman, at least then, maybe you hadn't hit any of them, hadn't hit his eyes yet with that minigun. Maybe his eyes are weaker. Maybe. It's like
It's
a
worth a shot.
desperation. Yeah, it's worth a shot. Here, the bullets are hanging in midair.
Maybe they figured that he could only hold so many bullets at once.
And they may have been right, because then he started firing them back. Back up their guns, jamming them.
Perfect precision.
Yes. And in order, he saved the leader of the group for last.
Yeah, it. Okay, so the reason that they were attacking the boat, like they didn't know that the two brothers were on the boat, but there were a bunch of vampire refugees. But when the boat explodes, to get back to our long story short, because we're trying not to go too long with this one, the little brother is tossed overboard, and Red Mage goes after him. Now, in this world, vampires are held to the vampires have trouble with running water thing.
Yeah.
And an ocean is most definitely running water. Water.
I would hope so.
Right, also, the Ice Age has come with a huge vengeance. So, and the first episode ends with a random cut to a woman's apartment. She's like, I have to go where?
Meet
And
the
where'd
most
she.
interesting character of the show, if only because, holy dear God, her character is everywhere.
Yeah, she's. We'll talk about this more in character, but she's rather inconsistent in how they portray her.
Oh.
And the reason I've come up with, like, okay, I either have to assume that the writers are hacks who don't know how to make a character consistent, which is entirely possible,
Yes.
or there's an amusing ulterior motive that I'll get into when we get to her character
Okay,
that occurred to me.
I personally think that she was meant to be like three or four different people. They just smooshed her together.
Very possible. So episode two opens with Red Mage carrying his brother out of the ocean. Now, the little brother is mostly fine aside from, he's much more fine than he should be considering he's probably been underwater for hours.
Yeah.
Because he's a vampire, but he hasn't fully awoken yet or come into his power yet. Red Mage, on the other hand, he's a
Red
skeleton.
Mage, yeah.
And it's a combination of the water and being in direct sunlight.
Yeah, this is actually something I have to bring up. This is one of the only times sunlight actually seems to bother Red Mage. Because while he's always in the shadows, he's outside in the daylight a lot. I don't care if he is in shadow. That's sunlight. It
He's a
should be hurting
vampire.
you.
Right, they usually have the decency to make it clear that he's uncomfortable and he's sort of smoking.
Yeah, here.
When I said
No.
that he had a reason for his silly hat, it's because I realized that it has roughly the right dimensions to protect him from a lot of sunlight.
Yeah, that's about it. It has a very wide brim, and apparently any amount of shade is enough to protect you from the sun,
Guess you just have to not be in direct sunlight.
which is really, really, really silly, but whatever, okay. At least it's not twilight.
Yes. So, let's just call her by her name. Mimiko picks them up. You know, she gives a story like, ha ha, wow, that's great makeup, guys. Cut.
Yeah, she's acting like it's all part of a movie, and she's a film director, even though she's dressed like a schoolgirl, and...
She's not dressed like a schoolgirl. She's wearing a business suit.
Bah! And just...
Right.
Then she takes him to dinner.
Right. I'm gonna phrase it like Professor Otaku did here. She does human-vampire relations, so she's kind of like C-3PO with boobs.
I don't know. She seems attracted to men. Oh, hey! I guess she is.
So basically, at this point, the plot actually sort of starts to start.
Yeah, it just takes two episodes and a false story. Seriously! I miss you first 5 minutes! Come back to me!
And there's more. There's another flashback in episode two. I have no idea what to make of it, so I'm going to ignore it.
Yeah.
Involved a princess and more pain for Half Pint.
Yeah, he blew a snot bubble onto the thing she knitted for him, and...
No, let's just move on. It was unimportant to our review.
That was the entire thing!
Right, so... We cut back to the refugees.
Hooray!
Who are still under attack. And basically... No. Remember how we talked about there was, like, the human side of things was really bureaucratic. The vampire side of things is kind of bureaucratic.
Everything is made of bureaucrats!
Yes. They've gone with this whole the idea that you see in certain vampire RPGs and such, that there are distinct vampire bloodlines. There's a particular bloodline called the Kulan Children, who are basically pure evil. Any vampire can be converted to their bloodline, and once they're in that bloodline, they are bloodthirsty and prefer to kill people when they drink their blood, rather than just drinking their blood, then going on with their business. And so the reason for all that security and whatnot is that, if a vampire is unregistered with any of the houses, there's a risk that they're a Kulan child.
Yeah, and the Kulan children are the ones that make other vampires. The ones they feed on die, and... They're basically zombies.
They're the ones that killed Hong Kong.
Yeah, they're basically zombies with superpowers crossed with werewolves. Because everything is weak to silver for some reason.
Right. So from there on, it's like we have the two stories going on. They're attacked again. Red Mage leads them off because he sympathizes with the... actually, no. He really doesn't sympathize with the refugees. He's out to protect his brother. They too are the last of their family / bloodline.
Which is an old bloodline, and...
Man, oh yeah, at this point, they say my thing that just sort of made me go, really, show? Really? Now, in their first episode, we find out that the vampires are called Black Bloods, hence the name of the show. And here I thought it was going to be an awesome blaxploitation movie.
It's not to be. We are not the cinema snob.
Anyway, someone needs to make an exploitation movie called Black Blood Brother.
I'll get on that as soon as I can start making movies. I'm sure I'll be...
Anyway, she says, well, you see, we humans are called Red Bloods and you vampires are called Black Bloods. It's our way of showing that we're all equals and all sentient creatures. And I'm like, really, show? Color-based labels are a good way to promote equality and make sure that everyone remembers that everyone else is a sentient being? Really? That's how it works in reality?
Also, it's just... The Black Blood Brothers? Really, show? Wouldn't that apply to any vampire with a brother?
Yeah, it'd be like calling Indiana Jones Archaeologist Man.
Yeah! Not even... Just...
I don't have issue with the show, but I can see your issue with the show, or with the title, but I can see your issue with the title.
Yeah, it's just, it's very generic.
Yep.
Oh, well.
So the rest of the plot boils down very simply. We find out, like, most of it is just exposition that we can get into in characters, but we basically have, there is a Kulan child hiding out amongst the refugees. Who saw that coming, right? So I'm actually kind of forced to sympathize with the gun-toting crazy mercenary who works for the company. And it basically, the episode ends with Mimiko accidentally inviting the Kulon child vampire into the protected zone. Because they follow the vampire rule that a vampire can only enter somewhere where they are specifically invited.
Yeah. Which makes me wonder, if I get a bag of rice and spill it in front of one of these bozos, will they have to count every single one?
That's an excellent question. It would be very amusing as a combat technique. Although, Red Mage couldn't use it himself because he'd be compelled to do the counting too.
Yeah.
But
I guess. I don't know what doesn't and does apply to him.
But yeah, we're skipping a lot of stuff because it's a plot you've seen before, and episode 3 ended on a cliffhanger, so I can't say how it resolved. I suspect the little brother isn't going to die, and the protected city isn't going to be destroyed, but I'd be willing to believe that the protected city could be destroyed. I mean, they already destroyed Hong Kong in the first 5 minutes. But overall, what I have to say about the story is that it's kind of uneven.
A little bit, yeah.
There are flashbacks I can't bring myself to care about.
Yeah, and then there's... The current plot is evil vampires try to get into the city by hiding with the refugees, and then the hero sucks the blood of the female, and he kills them, and then he gets into the city and has to live with her because...
So did you watch episode 4? I didn't watch episode 4.
I did. That's okay. What I'm referring to.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, he sucks her blood, he kills all the other vampires, he goes into the city, she says he has to he can stay at her house, and then we get like a scene of someone standing with a katana outside the city, and then they vanish, and then it's the end credits, and... Point number 3!
One last thought on story is that nothing here is really incompetently done. It's just I've seen this before in different forms.
Yeah, it's been done better.
So point 3, characters. Let's talk about Mimiko first. Here's the thing about Mimiko. When she's first introduced, she sort of seems like the Akane from Ranma 1/2 type character. Like, she's nicer, she's nice, mm-hmm. but at the same time, she's kind of... She has a short trigger, and she keeps getting into arguments with Red Mage.
Yeah.
Then third episode, it's like that she's fallen in love with him while they've been separated.
Somehow.
And she just can't seem to bear the idea of anything bad happening to him or him being away. This isn't just professional what's it, because, you know, she's a human vampire relations person, so therefore it's her job to protect her charges, but this goes beyond that. This is like they have a deep personal bond that only she seems to be aware of.
Yeah.
I said before that I would talk about... Okay, so there's two possible reasons for this. One is that she's being written very inconsistently, or two, a detail that we skipped over for good taste until now, apparently being bitten by a vampire feels better than sex.
I can actually comment on this because it happens and it comes up and... No, that's not it. In fact, she doesn't even remember it. Oh, I'm pretty sure she had an orgasm while he was drinking her blood from her hand. Yeah. But after the fact, she didn't remember it all that well, and she only did it because he had to... be powerful to kill them, and also she's a virgin.
My theory is that being around him, like, she knew how great it was, so she was tempted. Like, she wanted that blood sucking.
No, I'm sorry, she's just inconsistently dumb.
Okay then, so sorry, show. I tried to come up with a theory to help you out, but it's like a switch goes off, and then suddenly she's pleasant.
Pretty much. It's really, really bizarre. But, oh well, you know, she's an interesting character, but she's kind of 5 or 6 characters smushed together.
Right. Oh, it's possible over the course of the rest of the show that she improves.
Yeah.
And those 5 or 6 characters become a more cohesive whole as we learn more about her, but...
Oh, it already is a whole. I'm kidding.
But I just have my doubts.
Yeah, I can definitely see why.
So, next up we have Red Mage.
Red Mage is... A lot of the time he tries to pretend that he's this British gentleman vampire. He's from, like, 1900s, I guess. Early 20th century. He is really, really angry because he couldn't save someone. So that doesn't ever come up again after the first episode.
Yeah. Which is really, really disappointing because... Okay, if they had gone with that plot angle and made that the center of his character, I probably would have... I would have said, Trigun ripoff.
Yeah, but even
it
then...
It would have been better.
Yeah, it would have been better. Also, let's face it, Vash didn't really obsess on that until later on. And even then, it was never a driving factor of his character on the outside.
Right.
Here, it would have been interesting. Especially if it was revealed that she became a vampire and went evil, which is apparently a choice you can make. Vampires aren't inherently evil in this universe.
Which is reason. Itself sort of interesting, but yeah, it gets into something I'll get into in final thoughts.
Yeah, it's really, really overdone. Anyways, so he's also a slayer of other vampires because he has a silver sword because all vampires are werewolves, apparently. And he has a brother who he adopted, I guess.
I don't know that he's adopted. We don't know enough to.
Oh, also he's the bizarre love child of Sephiroth and Vincent from Final Fantasy VII, because he even has Sephiroth's sword. He just decided to take classes in Red Mage for some reason.
And he has Vincent's color.
Yeah.
Or in fashion choices.
Yeah, he has Vincent's fashion choices and hairstyle. He has Sephiroth's general pretty boy looks and sword. The dude's a Final Fantasy character.
Right. And I'm sure some of you are saying, oh man, I have to watch this show right now, after we said that.
Well, wait for our final thoughts before you decide. And then we get to Half Pint. He's a little kid, he's annoying, he gets beaten up a lot, it's amusing.
I wouldn't condone that sort of violence against a real kid, but against a TV show little kid who's written to be as annoying as he is, it's refreshing to see the show actually do what we would like it to do to him.
Yeah. Yeah.
So there are a few other characters, but they're all just one-sentence summaries. Because we've seen, like, there's the Marceline vampire lady. She's the villain who killed the hero's love interest, and now tortures him about it.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah.
There's an angry marine guy who, just wants to kill all vampires who aren't registered because he's sensible.
And but then in the fourth episode he's sensible again and he isn't something and then he. Gives one of the female refugee vampire, the leader of them, a gun to go kill the other evil vampires because things. And then there's, the female leader refugee vampire who...
You know, I kind of refuse to talk about her because...
Wants to...
She is not a character, she is a desire. She just wants to get her kid into the safe zone.
And she... Her daughter dies, for the record.
Oh.
Yeah.
I guess I kind of saw it coming, but...
Yeah, she dies in the fourth episode, gets shot by her because she turned evil, and...
This show is just, you know, I feel like talking about this show, my energy is just drifting away.
It's kind of a boring show, honestly. Not a whole lot really happens outside flashbacks, and... The first 5 minutes, which should have been its own entire series.
It almost feels like it's a sequel series to a show we didn't see.
Yeah, but okay.
Let's get ahead of ourselves. So let's move on to point four, presentation.
Yeah, because honestly, I don't think there are any other characters worth mentioning.
So, opening theme, I have to talk about this. Like, okay, it starts off sounding as stereotypically vampire-ish as possible. Like, it has... It's a J-pop song with a old-school organ-type sound to it. And then suddenly, for some reason, it starts getting really discordant.
Yeah.
Like, the notes just get ugly.
Yeah. What's weird, though? It has the lyrics of a hot-blooded shonen super robot show.
It kind of does.
I was watching the lyrics, and dear God, the sound does not do them justice.
Yeah. End theme.
Ah.
I liked the end theme. The end theme had some
it
English
put me
lyrics
to sleep.
That weren't too Englishy.
It was boring.
Meant the show was over. Now let's move on to something besides the theme. I just had to mention how discordant and weird the first part was.
Everyone's noses are pointy.
Yes, everyone's noses are pointy. It's just a
They're
style
all
decision.
Related to Lois from Family Guy. I don't know
okay,
why.
It isn't quite that bad, but
it kind of is.
The animation here is competent. I didn't really notice any big flubs.
Yeah.
But it didn't really aspire to much.
It was there. It serviced the plot. Happened. Pretty much.
Yeah, I can't even really think of anything to say about it, because, there's just... It's there. It does what it's supposed to do, and that's just about it. The action scenes are reasonably well done, just there isn't a huge sense of excitement that comes with it.
Yeah, it's... Don't really care all that much for the characters as they are, because the characterization from Red Mage from the first five minutes to the entire rest of the show is entirely different, to the point where I almost wanted him to be entirely different characters, but it's just... it's okay.
Yeah. Right. Voice acting, I watched it in the English dub. It's a good dub.
Same here. I did too. It is. Though one amusing thing is, the voice actor for Red Mage briefly, I think it's in the second or third episode, he briefly loses whatever British thing he was going for.
Yeah, you're right. Because his voice is all over the place.
Yeah, it's really hilarious.
Yeah, it's... Like, he's not a bad actor, it's just that... Like, it's like he was getting inconsistent direction, or... They were saying things, okay, now for this scene, he's angry, so drop the accent.
Yeah. For this scene, you're a cool British suave guy. Here, you're a screaming warrior dude! Roar!
You bitch! You bitch! Those are actually lines from him when he sees Vampire Marcel, or Anime Marceline.
The first 5 minutes were amazing.
Yes.
Not for good reasons, but they were. Well,
that's all I have to say on that subject.
Pretty much. He's the most interesting character to talk about, if only because...
He flubs it.
Yeah, a lot. He waffles. There's a gay guy. Forgot to mention that.
He's not important. He might be important later, but as of these episodes...
He gave him his sword!
Okay, I kind of just refuse to acknowledge that character.
He's really stereotypical, and it's not a very good character.
It's a stereotype that honestly grates me, and I'd rather not acknowledge exists.
Yeah, it's the whole lipsy... Oh-ho!
It's the same sort of stereotype that keeps me from watching Glee, well, on top of other things, like having taste. But,
my dear.
Yes. So
final thoughts!
Burke, you can go first.
I have no idea. I didn't hate it. I don't really feel the urge to watch more. If I thought that it was going to be more like the first 5 minutes, I'd watch more, because the first 5 minutes are good in a mid to late 90s anime kind of way. It's just a lot of dumb action, the hero is ridiculously overpowered, then there's another villain that's ridiculously overpowered, and there's some character, it's a cool setting idea, city under siege by vampires, and I'd really like to see that. I did not get that. Instead, I got a lot of bureaucracy and a lot of politics and a lot of law dealing and a lot of vampires that aren't really vampires. They're sort of meh. And the whole thing about... Okay, I don't know if vampires can reproduce. I don't know how long these vampires can actually live for. But I have to ask a question. Let's just assume that they can reproduce. Maybe. Maybe they can. Because, you know, all these vampire children have to come from somewhere, and apparently they do grow up.
Yeah.
And let's just assume, because the main character is like 100 years old, that they can live indefinitely. Why hasn't all of humanity become vampires?
I think it's because the vampirization process has to be done intentionally.
Even then, why isn't everyone signing up for the vampirization?
Oh, I see. Yeah. I see. You're going a different direction with this.
Yes. Why isn't everyone signing up to become a vampire? Because there's no downsides. You're only evil if you want to be evil.
Even Twilight had more disadvantages.
Yeah. At least there you have this undeniable thirst for blood. Here, apparently you just need to drink blood if you want superpowers. It's not really all that important, and you can completely control yourself at any time.
And it doesn't hurt their person much to suck a couple pints off of them.
Yeah, you can just suck away, they're fine, whatever. And even then, you could get substitute blood.
Yeah, that's a good point that I hadn't thought of.
Why isn't everyone signing up to be vampires? They're better than humans in every way.
That kind of ties into my thoughts, if you're done.
I would say if you have nothing better to do and you can watch it on Netflix, check it out. It's sort of interesting. It pays homage to a lot of old vampire mythology.
Mm-hmm.
But beyond that, it's kind of filler.
I kind of have to... I'm finding myself thinking of Professor Otaku. I can't remember whether it was Professor Otaku or Yes Otaku. Some Otaku said this. But this is a story that you could tell with pretty much anything. Just vampires are popular right now.
Yeah.
Like, this could be mutants. This could be aliens. This could be,
illegal immigrants.
Well, I was thinking more in terms of supernatural things, no. But...
Cyborgs.
Psychics.
Or cyborgs.
Robots. Cyborgs, yeah. Like, this could be... It's such a generic sci-fi persecution plot.
Yeah.
This is just me. I'm not a big fan of vampires. I have such a hard time taking any plot seriously where the vampires complain about being persecuted.
Yeah.
Just in general, because of what they are. Like, if the writer can make it so the vampires and humans can live side by side peacefully in large numbers, then you have neutered your vampires.
Pretty much.
Like, I like vampires to be more villainous than this. Now, that being said, this is not a bad show. If I had to describe it, I'd say this is pretty much what anime is, in a nutshell. Like, if you have somebody who has never seen an anime before, and you plunked them down in front of this, and they watched through the whole thing, that would give them a pretty... It's like a good primer for somebody who's never seen an anime before.
Yeah.
Because, like, just about every trope and trick and such and plot device is there. It's just that they've assembled their story out of remnants from other stories... And they don't think they have anything new to say. There's no particular twist here.
Yeah, it's a collection of cliches strung along to take advantage of the new vampire craze.
Right. And I agree with Burke here. There's nothing wrong with the show, per se. There just isn't a whole lot right with the show. So I would say, you know, give it a shot if you feel like it. And, you know, there are people who like it. It's just that this sort of fault. This is kind of like Gun X Sword, which we haven't reviewed, but I tried to watch once. Where I've seen Trigun.
Yeah.
Trigun did this sort of thing so much better.
It's not the same kind of story, but yeah.
It's the same general category.
Yeah.
So.
Trigun was amazing, for the record.
So if you've seen Trigun, you don't need to see this, pretty much, unless you really love vampires. Then, like Burke said, yeah, they have more of the lore here than something like Twilight does.
Yeah. Okay, folks, I just made Bobcat teleport away using my mind because mental powers work like that. I am closing this out. I hate you all. Next week we're doing Black Heaven. Go away! No, I mean it! Go away!